Soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight. Be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
Over the years as a pastor, I've been teaching on the end times and how things will come to pass. But throughout the last 10 years, I begin to realize that things have to happen before the Lord Jesus Christ come for his church. Because when you start paying attention to how the church is today, we can clearly see that God has to do a work before he can come for his bride. And the bride will be taken out of the way one of these days. The Bible teaches the one holding back will hold back until it's taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the brightness of his coming. So what is hindering the rapture? What is hindering the Lord Jesus Christ for coming back for his bride? First of all, the Bible teaches us that the bride, the believer, will make the Jews jealous. And we have not seen that yet. Instead of the Jews being jealous of the church, the church is jealous of the Jew. Many church people, many Christians are trying to keep the law. They're going into all sorts of Jewish ceremonies, thinking they're doing God a service. And another thing that has to happen is this. The bride has to become unified. The church has to become unified, and they're far from that today, because the Bible teaches us he will come for a bride that is without spot or wrinkle. So what do we see? We see the church fighting each other. They're at each other's throats, and they are always bickering back and forth what is right and what is wrong. The Bible teaches us he will come for a glorious church. So what it's telling us here, that we will be united, we will be out there doing the work of the Lord as a unified body, not trying to outdo each other and not trying to come against one another. So the question is, how is God going to do that? How will he unite his children? How will he make the Jews jealous? It's this way. He will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Just like in the day of Pentecost, when the disciples were all, when the apostles were all hiding in the upper room, there were 120 of them. They were afraid of showing their face. Jesus had just been crucified, and he had gone to heaven, and there they were, in Jerusalem, waiting for what? The Lord Jesus Christ told them that they should not leave Jerusalem till he had sent the Comforter. And one day it happened. The power of God was sent, and they became bold as lions. They set the world on fire over the next course of history. But throughout the history of the church world, it has become darker and darker. And God is getting ready again to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. It's called the latter rains. The Bible teaches us the first rains were sent at Pentecost. Now it's going to be the latter rains. And these are going to be sent just before the great harvest. So today I'll teach on this message. But before I get into it, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that you will open people's hearts to the signs of the times. I thank you, God, for your grace. And I ask you to anoint this message and bless the listeners in Jesus' name. Amen. When I look at what is happening in the world today, I can see that the time is right for the Lord to pour out his spirit. We can clearly see the things that have been prophesied are happening. The pestilences that we're seeing, the coronavirus, this is all prophesied in the Bible that there's going to be terrible pestilences, there's going to be terrible earthquakes. But at the same time, when the power of the Holy Spirit will be poured out, things will happen. We know that Ananias and Sapphira were judged because they lied to the Holy Spirit. And that's what's going to happen in the church when the power of God will be poured out. Those who were pretending may find themselves in deep trouble with God. And then we can see the political situation. We know what the political people are doing today. They're trying to bring the world into bondage. And this is exactly what Herod did during the time of the apostles. He killed James and the brother of John, and he also put Peter into prison. And guess what happened? The Lord Jesus Christ himself delivered a death blow to Herod when he was making a speech. The Bible teaches us the worms ate him from within. So God killed King Herod. And I am somehow afraid that's what's going to happen to many, many politicians, because they're bringing this world into bondage. I'm just quoting what is in the Bible. This is what happened at the day of Pentecost. And it could happen the same thing in when the latter rains are poured out. In Joel chapter 2 in verse 23, it tells us, "Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rains moderately." That's when the power of God was poured out at the day of Pentecost. "And he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rains." That's what's going to happen. The latter rains are going to be poured out. It's going to be a great harvest. "The floor shall be full of wheat. The fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years the locust have eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar." So God is going to do a mighty work. We have been preaching the word of God throughout history. Many people have turned to the Lord. But what we're going to see is God pouring out his Spirit in such a marvelous way. The gospel has been preached throughout the world. Most in the world have heard about the saving grace of Jesus. They have heard about the blood of Jesus and how the blood brings you into the kingdom of God. Well, when God will pour out his Spirit upon people, they will begin to understand. The scales will be taken from their eyes. The veil will be taken away. They will be able to see, to understand, and they will be able to make a conscious choice of accepting Jesus as their Savior. It's going to be an awesome day. For now, it seems like people, you preach the gospel, yes, they hear it, but it doesn't do much. One of these days, that will change. In Joel chapter 2 in verse 28, it tells us, "And it shall come to pass afterwards, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in days, I will pour out my Spirit." So that's what we're going to see, an incredible outpouring. The average person will have dreams and visions. They will prophesy. It's not going to be up to the pastor anymore. It's not going to be up to the prophet. The ordinary people are going to start bringing the word of God everywhere. Church buildings will be full. There has been prophecies of that for years, that the great outpouring of God will fill up stadiums. And I am waiting to see that. It will be about time. As of now, it seems like the only stadiums that can attract crowds is sports stadiums. We need God's power to fill these stadiums, because we're heading towards the end. We need to get ready for the eternities to begin. It's time for God to move. We have hit that point where we are in the end times, and it's going to be closing time very, very soon. In Romans chapter 10, in verse 13, it tells us this: "And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Listen to this. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. People's hearts and eyes will be opened to the truth. They'll call upon Jesus and they shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The time will come when people will see how important a preacher is who preaches the gospel. It is the preacher that brings eternal life to people. He preaches the gospel. But for now, there's something that is mocked in many places. But that will change when God will open people's hearts and eyes to the truth of what's going to happen. Yes, we're going to see incredible things. I'm waiting for that. We need to understand the power of God will change many, many things. And when we listen to different pastors and preachers and prophets, it is getting ready to happen. It is because the world is in such turmoil. God has to do something. And God will do something because it is his world. It is his people. He created the heavens and the earth. He created the animals. He created the human race. And he will do something to bring them all back to himself. Anyways, those who wait and look upon for him. When we look at the sports stadiums today, they're all empty. God took care of that. It seems like he cleansed the sports stadiums, getting them ready for the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because they will be filled with people who are going to listen to preachers and teachers of the mighty works of God. Yes, there's going to be many miracles and signs and wonders. So if you're wondering why the sports stadiums are empty, can you imagine hockey teams playing with no fans in there? God is doing something. He is cleansing these stadiums so that they will be ready for what he has in mind. And they will be filled with people to the max, because people will be hungry for the word of God. Not for sports, but for the word of God. Many of you may think that I'm far out on a strange limb, but that's exactly what is going to happen. It's the truth, because many, many prophets have prophesied this for years. And now we're beginning to see that coming to pass. So open your hearts to this and let the power of God speak to you. And in the next segment of this program, I will explain from the Old Testament how you get to know Jesus. So let the Lord bless you and make you a blessing. Amen.
When I look at you, I realize the little that I know. When I look at you, I realize how far I have to go. Though my mind cannot conceive the thought of why you'd love me so. When I am so far from what you are, and I seem to move so slow. You didn't have to love me, but you did. You didn't have to heal me, but you did. You didn't have to die on Calvary for me, but you did. But you did. You didn't have to save me, but you did, or send your spirit to sway me, but you did. You didn't have. to love me, save me, heal me, but you did. When others look at me, I hope they'll see reflections there of you. When others look at me, I hope that they will want to know you too. For if they can't see your love in me, then I've failed at what I do. Though I'm so far from what you are, I'm becoming more like you. You didn't have to love me, but you did. You didn't have to heal me, but you did. You didn't have to die on Calvary for me, but you did. But you did. You didn't have to save me, but you did, or send your spirit to sway me. But you did. You didn't have to love me, save me, heal me, but you did. You didn't have to love me, but you did. You didn't have to heal me, but you did. You didn't have to die on Calvary for me, but you did. But you did. You didn't have to save me, but you did, or send your spirit to sway me. But you did. You didn't have to love me, save me, heal me, but you did. You loved me, saved me, healed me, yes you did.
In Exodus chapter 12, in verse 3, the Lord God speaks to Moses on how to prepare the children of Israel to get ready to leave Egypt. And to leave Egypt is to enter into the kingdom of God. It's a foreshadow. We have to leave the kingdom of darkness. That's where the Bible teaches us that we are in the kingdom of darkness before we get saved. So this world is basically the kingdom of darkness, and we have to get ready to leave it. And how do we leave this place and enter into the kingdom of God? It tells us, speak unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house wherein they shall eat it. So God is telling them to kill a lamb. And then they have to take the blood of that lamb and put it on the doorposts of their houses. That represents the blood of Jesus that has to be put upon your heart. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God without the shed blood of that lamb, Jesus. So you need to pay close attention here. This is how it's going to take place, just as the foreshadow of Egypt was. In Exodus chapter 12, in verse 12, it tells us, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both male, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So here is a good picture of what will God do to this world. He will smite it. The Bible teaches us that the world is in for it, the world system. He will smite them, and the gods of this world will be brought down. And the only protection there is the blood upon the heart of the people. If you have the blood of Jesus upon your heart, you will be protected from that awful curse that is coming upon this world system. Just like in the land of Egypt. Anybody who wants to know the story, all he has to go and do is read the story on when the children of Israel left Egypt. By the time God was finished with Egypt, it was basically destroyed. And that's exactly what's going to happen to this world. You know, we know that scripture clearly teaches us that. In Exodus chapter 12, in verse 23, it tells us, "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over you, will pass over the door, and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you." So this is what's going to happen. This is clearly a foreshadow of what is going to come. Those who have the blood of Jesus will enter into the kingdom of God. God will pass over them. But those who don't have the blood of Jesus, far worse will happen to you than what happened to the Egyptians. These who don't have the blood will have to spend their eternity in the eternal lake of fire. So we need to pay attention to this. God will bring his judgment, but at the same time, those who want to know God, they will be saved from that awful, terrible place. And many, many people will say, "Will God do that? Will God destroy people like that? Will God send them into hell for eternity?" Yes, he will. That's what is prophesied in the Bible. And will God kill people? Listen to what happened when the Assyrians surrounded Jerusalem. They were starving the people to death. And the Hezekiah cried out to God. He was a good king. He cried out to God for help. And during the night, it went on quite a while. People were getting desperate. And during the night, in 2 Kings chapter 19 in verse 35, it says, That night the angel of the Lord went out to the Assyrian camp and killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. And when the surviving Assyrians woke up the next morning, they found corpses everywhere. Will God kill people? Well, I just read you a scripture where he did. And that's not the only place. You go into scripture and you'll find God killing many, many, many who blasphemed his name. So open your heart to these incredible truths. For Jesus is about ready, getting ready to do some incredible things. Let the Lord open your heart and make you a blessing. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. You can also reach us online at reachingoutministries.com. That's reachingoutministries.com. You are my strength when I